Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministry, along with the Life Support Outreach Church. And we are so excited today to be back on our radio broadcast. We just give God praise and glory on today. We magnify his holy name on today. We give God praise. We give God praise and glory. I just thank and praise him now for all that he's doing and all that he's going to do on today. I just give reverence to God, who is the head of my life, to Apostle Deans, and to everyone in their respective places. I'm going to get ready to call our worship to order now. We're going to have a short devotion before we go into the Word of God. We're going to have a song, a scripture, and a prayer, and then we're going to go right into the Word of God. Amen. Amen. If I can. Yeah.
to see. I can always let you. I can always let you.
Amen, amen. Jesus. Scripture reading will be coming from, where is this? Oh my God. Scripture reading will be coming from 119, verse 41. Let thy mercy come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproach me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hope in thy judgment. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimony also before the king, and will not be ashamed, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hand also will I lift up unto thy commandment, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. I have just read you from Psalms 119, verses 41 through 48. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Father, I come tonight, we come tonight humbly before your throne of grace, God, asking that you forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I come tonight, Lord, just giving you all the praise and glory, magnifying your holy name on tonight, God, just giving you praise and thanking you for everything that you've done for us, God. In the name of Jesus, I come, first of all, asking you now to bind up the strong man from this radio broadcast. Bind the strong man from our lives, but bind the strong man from this radio broadcast. Every witch, every wizard, every warlock that's messing with this radio broadcast, I bind you up right now. I cast you out right now. I command you to go right now in the name of Jesus. You have no authority. You have no power. Radio broadcast. So I set fire to your skirt and burn you up. I set fire to you right now and burn you up. Lord, set fire to them. You said whatever I bind on earth is already bound in heaven. And whatsoever I loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. I bind him and her up now. In the name of Jesus, you have no power over this radio broadcast. So, Lord, I ask you, let every dead thing be buried now. Why don't you get up and die? In the name of Jesus, you have no power, none at all, over this radio broadcast. And I plead the blood of Jesus against you right now. In the name of Jesus, I bind you now. In the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Not one thing will prosper against me. In the name of Jesus, nothing in this radio broadcast, not a computer, not a phone, nothing. Don't touch it. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to take chains and fetters and bind them now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. It's required to bind them now in the name of Jesus. I ask you to let me decrease that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister to us on tonight, Lord. We give you praise and we give you glory tonight, Lord. We give you praise and we give you glory. In the name of Jesus, I cover everyone on my voice in the blood of Jesus. Lord, I cover them now. I cover them now in the blood of Jesus. And encamp your angels all around about them right now, God. In the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against them will ever prosper, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to cover their homes and cars right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you right now for your angels. I ask you to give your angels charge over each one of us, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, least we dash our foot against a stone. I ask you to send angels, warring angels to every home. In the name of Jesus, that's an assignment. I just heard the Holy Spirit say he's sending angels on assignment to your homes right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you today. And I give you glory today, God. I ask you to bless their children and their families and husbands and wives, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, do it for them, Lord. You know what they're trying to do, Lord. I'm asking you right now to do it for them now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I just want to encourage somebody today. In the name of Jesus, just stand. When you done everything else, God, just stand on the word of God right now. In the name of Jesus, can't nothing touch you. Ain't nothing strong enough to touch you. In the name of Jesus, I bind every demonic force. No weapon formed against you right now shall prosper. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for men and women, boys and girls all over the earth. In the name of Jesus, we pray for them, God. We know you'll protect them. You're in control. Do it for them, Lord. In the name of Jesus, touch right now, Lord. Touch right now, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, God. I give God praise and glory. Hallelujah. I wasn't intending to start like that, but I have to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost, because when I got on here, was nothing working. Not nothing working. Nothing but my telephone, and it wouldn't charge. It's still not charging. Maybe it is charging now. So you all just keep praying that we get through this hour, and I'll work on everything. So we're going to go into our word, the word of God now. Is it static in the phone? Can you all hear me well?
Yeah. Sometimes you sound like you're far away from the phone, though. The volume goes down a lot.
Okay. All right. No, I'm right here. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, the devil is alive. Okay, we're going to, I think we left off at 40,000 Tuesday night. So we're going to go on Tuesday night. So next Tuesday, I'm going to explain to you about the seed and the parable about the seed. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to continue on this, but I just want to show you some things on Tuesday about the sower, 30, 60, and 100 fold. Okay, but we're going to start here on 40,000. 40,000 is quite similar, but the emphasis isn't just on a larger kingdom. Instead, it emphasizes wise rule. This fits scripture above, where the king needed to make a wise decision about whether or not he should go to war. Words like skillful and expert are used in conjunction with this number. Skillful and expert, 40,000. The following scripture bears this out. The sons of valiant men able to bear buckler and sword and to shoot with bow and skillful in war, were 4 in 40,703 scores that went out to the war. That's in First Chronicles, chapter 5, verse 18. The additional number also revealed that these warriors were completely conformed to an acceptable image. Likewise, the following use of 40,000 reveals an extraordinary ability to wage wise warfare, and of Asher, such as went forth to battle, experts in war, 40,000, First Chronicles 12 and 36. And while we're studying 40,000, how about the controversial 140 and 40,000? That's in Revelation 14, verses 1 through 3. Very few understand this scripture. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount of Sion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harping with their harps, and they sang as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. That's Revelation 14, 1 through 3. It's not the count, but the meaning of the number that tells the story. These people represent all the redeemed warriors of God's kingdom, multitudes of them. These are the leaders, God's holy and righteous apostles and prophets, who rule with him over his kingdom. So that's who they were, the 144,000 was. So we're in 50,000 now. Let's review the basic in preparation for discussing 50,000. 5 means service or work, and 50 reveals that our works are tried by fire. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3 and 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And as we've seen, 10 and thousands are units of measure. 10 meaning to test or weigh, and 1,000 meaning to mature. But when a number is brought to the fifth place and become 10,000 or above, the thought of largeness is always involved in the interpretation, like 50 to 50,000. It's like comparing a grocery cart to an 18-wheeler. So if 50 speaks of our daily testing and fiery trials, then 50,000 is talking about a mighty big fighter. That's how big it is over there, that 50,000. In fact, 50,000 falls right in line with the other numbers we studied. 50 indicates the quality of service, whether it's acceptable or rejected. And 1,000 measures its quantity. So when God tried Israel's service, sometimes he rejected it with horrible consequences. And God smote the men of Beth Shemesh because they had listened to the ark of the Lord. Even he smote the people, 50,000 and 70 men. And the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of them with a great slaughter. That's 1 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 19. And sometimes Israel's service was excellent and thus gracious accepted by the Lord as shown in this scripture. But sometimes it's not, okay? Sometimes it's not. Of jubilant, such as went forth to battle, experts in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank. They were not of double hearted. 1 Chronicles 12:33. God's presence mightily testified of the righteous works of those who burn their idols in the New Testament. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought them their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. That's Acts 19:19-20. And so a lot of times we have stuff that we shouldn't have, but, you know, God will open all that stuff up to you and even more, because some things we have, we shouldn't have them. Like all those little fat China dolls, China things that you can get them, some of the fat men and all that. That's religious idols to some people, some China, a lot of the Asian people, and we're not to have them. And it's a whole lot of more things. It's a whole lot of more things. We'll get a chance to study that one day. Things that you're supposed to have in your house, things you're not supposed to have in your house. Mm-hmm. Okay, 60,000. The meaning of 60,000 agrees with what we've already learned about the reverse image of God. That is, our image just doesn't agree with God. I think it gives him indigestion. There are only two passages in the entire Bible where 60,000 is used. We only need to look at one of them to establish its meaning. And it came to pass that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishakin, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord with 1,200 chariots and 60,000 horsemen. And he took the fenced city, which pertained to Judah, and came to Jerusalem. Then came Shemaiah, the prophet, to Rehoboam and to the prince of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishakiah, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord, ye have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishakiah. That's 2 Chronicles 12:2-5. God was greatly displeased with his people at this time, and Israel simply did not reflect his likeness. That was an image that they couldn't keep up with, this image. And he was real upset with them. He was real displeased with them. Mm-hmm. They wasn't showing the image of God here, okay? We in 70,000. Mm-hmm. When any questions or comments? Okay, when King David commented the sin of pride, no, when King David committed the sin of pride by numbering Israel, God sent a plague and destroyed 70,000 of David's subjects. David threw himself upon the mercy of the court, but God would not relent until his judgment was complete. That's something. That's why you're not really supposed to count. You're not supposed to count. And David said unto God, I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies. And you know how people try to count and see how many members you got and how many members on this line. Let me finish reading the scripture. But let me not fall into the hands of man. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men, and God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed, it is enough. Stay now thy hand. See, a lot of times the Lord does what he have to do. He does what he have to do. It's his will. Whatever happened is on him, and it's his will a lot of times. A lot of times it is the enemy, but he does have to go to God to get permission to do anything, because God is always in control. It says, although in this scripture, 70,000 specifically relates to complete recompense for David's transgression, it can relate to anything where the measure is large and complete. So when we're disobedient to the Lord, a lot of times we get it just like this. It's a lot of times it don't be as heavy as this. But he was king. And so it hurt him to have these men fall and have plagues on them and all that, just like now. It's just like now. We so hard-headed and disobedient, and then our king that's over us is hard-headed and disobedient. And we are too, because so many things we're allowing to happen. And we can't keep allowing that. And that's how God sometimes send plagues out, allow plagues to go out.
What up, man?
Oh, he's on. No, he got his thing on. Anyway, we at 80,000. Principle of thousands relating to largeness remains constant throughout the Bible. In the following scripture, 80,000 refers to a failed attempt to bring an entire kingdom under one rule. And when Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men who were warriors to fight against the house of Israel, that he might restore the kingdom to Rehoboam, the sons of Solomon. It's in 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 21. It was a vain attempt to fully restore the whole kingdom to Rehoboam. It was vain because God was the one who cast off his rule. In 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 24 says that, thus says the Lord, you should not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Let every man return to his house, for this thing is for me. Therefore, they obeyed the word of the Lord and turned back according to the word of the Lord. So, just like now, this thing is out here. I mean, we kind of letting our guards down, but we have to really stay in tune with what God sees. When he opened everything back up, it's going to be open. We ain't going to have to wear no mask, no nothing. When God do it, he going to do it right. He going to do it right. When he open us back up, ain't nothing going to happen. We going to be just like we was. But God, it's going to have to be God. I'm just telling you now, the way I see it. Anyway, that's what happened. Therefore, they obeyed the Lord. They stayed home. They turned back according to what the Lord said. They stayed where they were supposed to. So 90,000, we're at 90,000 now. So far, we've been able to show scriptural examples for almost every number we've discussed, but 90,000 is not in the Bible. So we'll assume that the established pattern remains unchanged So if we follow the same train of that we've seen in the previous eight numbers, 90,000 refers to a very large harvest as will occur at the end of the world. It says, be patient, James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. It says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and have long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord groweth nigh. So we have to just be patient. This is some of the fruit of the Spirit here for 99. And then we have a countless multitude, and that's 144,000. Okay. And we're going to go on. Okay, we're going to move on to attractive opposites. This is attractive opposites. And we still the numbers. And soon we'll be out of them when we get through. No. Anyway, however, we're going to get to the colors soon. And maybe we'll start on that next week, the colors. Because we're still in numbers. We got about 20 more pages. Let me see. About 13 more pages of numbers. And we need to know the numbers so we can help interpret dreams and visions. But when you know the basic of the number, when you know the first, that one is the beginning, two is divide and judge. Three is conform. Four is rule or reign. Five is serve or works. Six is image, and seven is complete. Eight is put off, and nine is fruit or harvest. Then you just about got it. You know, because you're going to take that and you're going to go up and up and up. The number 10 is weight in the balance. You're going to either accept it or reject it. That's the weight in the balance. Either it's going to be accepting or rejecting. So when you get that, you just add to it. You just keep adding to it. So the attractive opposites are, it's like a repetition. God uses it for emphasis and sometimes for other reasons. When Peter first began ministering, he ministered only to Jews. When it came time to start ministering to Gentiles, his religion got in his way. He was a Jew, and Jews didn't believe that Gentiles could be saved, but God had other ideas. So he spoke to Peter in a vision about his era. He sent him the same facts three times. That's in Acts 10, verses 9 through 20. He wasn't just trying to emphasize his message. He was telling Peter to conform to what he was revealing to him. On another occasion, God gave Pharaoh two dreams having the same meaning, and Joseph interpreted the dreams, informing Pharaoh that the dreams were given into two forms because the matter would surely come to pass. The message of Pharaoh's dream contained good news and bad news. That those are attractive opposites. The good news, there is good times ahead. The bad news, they won't last. And besides that, God even revealed to Pharaoh where the market was going to crash, when it was going to crash. In Genesis 41, verses 1 through 7, and verse 32 through 36, God is no respecter of person, and he doesn't change. He still warns those who love about troubles ahead, he will warn us. Sometimes he uses numbers in the process. Sometimes, you know, we need to know. We need to know about the numbers. We need to know. Okay. So to know what God is saying, we must understand his ways of using numbers. I mentioned previously that he had a unique way of revealing opposites in number. 11 through 19 are simply opposites of 1 through 9. They're the opposite. Like 11 here should be in. So that's what it says. Number 11, last or end, says 1 means the beginning and 11 means the end or the last. That's the opposite. So when you dream of the number 11, it means the end or 2-1. It means the end or the last. In one of Jesus' parable, he hired 7 brothers at the 11th hour of the day. When it came to quitting time, he told his foreman to pay them first because they were hired last. That's powerful. In Matthew 20, verse 6, and Joseph was pretty sharp when it came to interpreting dreams, but not at first. Now he, Joseph, dreamed yet another dream and told it his brother and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obedience to me. As mentioned before, sometimes a symbol has double meaning. If he had understood more about numbers, Joseph probably would have guessed it, or at least suspected that his brothers wouldn't bow down to him until much later in life. In fact, he represented Jesus and Jesus' brothers still haven't bowed to him. They won't until the 11th hour. And the 11th hour is the end or the last hour when they say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord in Luke 13, verse 35. And again, God used 11 twice in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 to emphasize the fact that Israel's wilderness journey was over. It was over. It was the end. He said, there are 11 days journey from Haran by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh. And it came to pass in the 40th year in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Go in and possess the land. That's Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 and 6 through 8. So number 1 is the beginning, and number 11 is the end. They opposite. 12, and I know y'all not going to remember all of this, but it's a start, it's a beginning. Like I said, if you get, I just say now the first 20, from 1 through 20, you got it. Number 12 is unity or governance. One of the 11 are easy to see, but what about 2 and 12? They are also opposites. The 2 mean divide and judge. 12 mean to join. So they're opposites. It's really that simple. But someone is sure to balk here and say, no way. 12 means government. And it does, but only through implication. One of the primary purposes of government is to unify and not people and not to divide them. The root meaning of 12 is join or unity, not government. When interpreting the number 12, government doesn't always fit good government produces unity, but unity doesn't always produce good government. Unity and government are closely related, but the difference between them, when substituted for the number 12, can be readily seen in the following example. After Jesus fed the 5,000 with bread and fish, his disciples took up of the fragments that same 12 baskets full. They gathered them up, uniting them after they were scattered, exactly what God is doing with his sheep. The purpose of church government is to unite the sheep, joining them to God through Christ. Without this understanding, the primary reason for using 12 as a symbol for government is lost. So it is used to unite. That's what 12 is. It's used to unite, and 2 is to divide, the opposite. Number 13 is change or rebellion. Compare 2 and 12 and 13 are easy. If 3 means conform, 13 means change, and by extension, rebel. This is conform at very first mention of 13 in the Bible. There were 5 kings joined together in 4, and for 12 years they served Chattalomara. I'm not good with this. Chadolorama. And in the 13th year they rebelled. And that's in Genesis chapter 14, verse 4. And chapter 14, verses 1 through 3 in Genesis. It doesn't get any plainer than that. I believe that the reason the United States of America began with 13 colonies, we started in rebellion, or was it revolution? Anyway, I hope it didn't end up that way. Another good scripture demonstrating the meaning of 13 is Jeremiah 25, verses 3. It says, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even until this day, that is the 3 and 13th year, the 3 and 20th year, the word of the Lord have come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early, speaking, but ye have not hearkened. If I can take the liberty to paraphrase here, Jeremiah's message says something like this: from the time of your rebellion, even until this day, I have conformed, listened to him, and judged you as rejected by him, continually warning you, but you have not hearkened. A lot of times we be doing everything else, and the Lord be trying to talk to us. And I'm not saying that the stuff we be doing is wrong, but if we don't pay attention, if we don't listen, we have to have time for God to listen to what he's saying, because God talks to us all the time. I'm telling you, he does. But if we would sit still for 20 minutes a day and just give that time to God, you will hear him. You will definitely hear him. Okay, we're going to do 14. 14 is double or duplicate. Let me see what 4 is. And I had to look back to see what 4 is, because I didn't write them down. Okay, 4 is rule or reign. And 14 is double or duplicate. By now, you may be able to figure out 14 through 19, but some of these numbers are rather difficult to interpret without an in-depth study. 14 is a good example of this difficulty. It means double or duplicate. As we learn, poor means rule or reign, but it also includes the thought of the subjects who are ruled over, in other words, the whole kingdom. That makes it a little harder to identify its opposite. In fact, before we can explore the full meaning of 14, we must examine another concept concerning the theme, including 11. We read about the meaning for 11 through 19, or opposite, the base number. But it's not always quite that simple. Sometimes there is a little more to it than that. As we mentioned before, the interpretation of some of the themes is actually the result of applying the original number, or the theme numbers can be compared to the fruit of a garden planted with the nine base numbers. Looking at 13 and 3, we see the rebellion and conformity are indeed opposite, but more than opposite, rebellion is the result of forced conformity. God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. When he starts something, he finishes it. Therefore, if something has a beginning, it usually has an end. One produces the other. When we divide something, we often end up with two united wholes. So, like you divide four and you get two. For example, all the people in heaven and all the people in hell, when people are forced to conform, eventually they will rebel. When one man rules over another, the result is that he doubles or duplicates himself through his subject. An employer doubles her labor through an employee. A teacher replicates his knowledge in his students. A musician duplicates her skills in her protege, and so forth. So a kingdom is the result of a king being duplicated in his subject. His labor, his knowledge, his character, all are portrayed through his kingdom. That's the root meaning of 14, and that's the stated purpose of the king. King Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do. That's John 14:12. And it's the truth. I understand so clearly now, because it's just like a governor over a state. And all that's up under him or her who's going to be up under, going to be like what she said or he said. Before Elijah was taken up into heaven, he asked Elisha what he could do for him as a reward for his faithfulness. Elijah sees the opportunity and asked for a double portion of Elijah's anointing. During Elisha's ministry, he performed seven recorded miracles. Although Elisha had been promised a double portion, he performed only 13 miracles during his lifetime. Let me see. Elijah performed seven recorded miracles, but he did more than that. But God is faithful. After Elisha died and was buried, some soldiers threw a dead man into his tomb. And when the dead man touched Elijah's bones, he revived and arose from the dead. Elisha was given his team miracle, completing his double portion as a promise. You know, God makes his promises. He comes through on his promises now. He didn't have all of his promises that God promised him before he died, and they've had a dead man that threw him over in his grave, and the dead man came back to life, and that meat he got, that was his number of his double portion promise. The following scriptures also reveal that 14 is the doubling of 7. It's complete. That's awesome. And at this time, Solomon held a feast in all Israel with him before the Lord our God 7 days, and 7 days, even 14 days. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 65. And after Satan destroyed Job's livestock, including 7,000 sheep, God restored his herd, giving him twice as much as he had before. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. When he prayed for his friends, also the Lord gave Job twice, double as much as he had before, for he had 14,000 sheep. That is awesome. For God commanded Moses to hold the Passover feast on the 14th day of the first month of the year, Exodus 12 and 6. Why? Because Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us, and through him we became like him. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Jesus said, everyone that is perfect shall be as his master, Luke 6 and 40. In other words, he duplicates himself in and through us. Herein is our love made perfect, when we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. That's 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. And so on Tuesday, after we talk about the seed and the sower, we're going to talk about numbers 15 through 19, because I want us then about the seed and the sower. So when we get up before people and we pray over an offering, we won't pray wrong. So I already prayed. Does anyone need me to pray another specific prayer? Does anyone need me to pray any more another specific prayer? Brother Harold, you got your speaker on. Anyway, I'll cut him back off. Okay, well, we're going to get ready to close out. I hope you all enjoyed like I did, maybe, because I don't know. It's just something good about this. And I'm going to get these people across the street. I'm going to type up some stuff. I got so much to type. I'm still typing for a little stuff from Pastor Saul, but I'm going to type up some of this stuff so we can go to it ourselves. And hopefully I can have it done by the time my people get here so I can get this stuff out, because we need to be able to go back and look at it. And when we get ready to help somebody, we need to be able to do this without, you know, you have confidence in yourself because you got script. This, everything you telling them is scriptorial. You can go in the Bible. And so that's what I want to do. But we're going to get ready to close off. I really enjoyed myself. When I first got on here, I couldn't get nothing through. My music wouldn't work. My phone was not charging. I brought the other phone. It wasn't doing right. I had to get the laptop to play the music. Just, it was terrible, but I knew the enemy always try to meet me on this radio broadcast, but I'm going to start having some stuff for them. Mm-hmm. I know what to do. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace. Just thanking you and praising you for an awesome word, Lord. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for opening up our understanding. We thank you for opening up our heart. Thank you for divine wisdom and knowledge, Lord. We give you praise on tonight. We just ask you right now to endow us in your love, or we just ask you now to endow us in your spirit. In the name of Jesus, Father, we just give you praise today, and we give you glory. I ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice, God. And I ask you to just encamp angels all around them, Lord. You know what they stand in need of, Lord. Encourage them on today, Lord. I ask you to encourage them today, Lord. Just bless them right now, God. And just heal wherever it hurt it. In the name of Jesus, we bind the spirit of infirmity on tonight. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you right now. Just give them a sound mind, Lord. Just let them know that all they have to do is depend on you, God. Oh, Lord, I just thank you tonight. Just thank you right now, God. I give you praise. We give you all the praise and glory. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. You all have a good night. God bless you. And we'll see you Sunday, 2 o'clock Central Time, 3 o'clock Eastern Time. God bless you. Be praying for us. Pray for everybody. God bless you. God love you. I love you too. Have a good night. Amen.